been. It's good to be here this evening. Glad all of you come back this evening. Thank you, Brother Bill, for your help. And I'm telling you, that is a difficult task. They allowed me, Brother Bill, one time to lead singing, and Brother Jim graciously said we'd go a cappella after that. So I understand. You did a fine job. Thank you very much for stepping up to bat. That is a it's a wonderful thing to be able to help in a need. Sometimes when we see needs that need to be handled or helped in areas, we feel inadequate, feel real inadequate. So I do appreciate that, Brother Bill. You did a fine job. You did. Thank you very much. And looking forward to the rest of this week in serving God. Boy, we had a good time in church this morning, did we not? Had a good crowd here. We've got a good crowd back tonight. And glad to be able to just be here and meet with you folks. And had 10 on my bus this evening. And so Brother Victor had his bus out, picked up some. So praise the Lord for that. Good to be able to pick them up and bring them in anytime they want to come. Any time at all. So we're thankful for that. We'll be in Mark chapter 2 today, but we're fixing to go over some new aspect of some things that's taking place here at the church, and I wanted to make you familiar with that and let you know that you have this tool to use. Don't forget the postcards. The postcards over there, we got new postcards in. Use them to mail out. In prayer for the volleyball tomorrow night. It's going to be, Lord willing, another wonderful event that we have opportunity to show folks that we love them, we care for them, and we're concerned about them. Got to show concern. Got to have compassion, folks. And so, as we grow in grace, Lord, I add to our church, add to our church family, so that we can do more for the cause of Christ. And so we have to, within the bounds of Scripture, be able to meet that need and minister to people there. So pass that along. All of our tracts, all of the postcards that we gave out, they have the website. And I just the other day, I was reading an article, and this is what the article said. In the research in four different groups did this research. Before a visitor today, 98% of visitors will look at your website before they come to church. So, you got to stay on top of it. Mark chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2. Bill, is this your one on here?
That one.
All right. Well, we've been looking at getting folks to Jesus. That's what we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks. Mark chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 12 again. Last week we had a little break. We had a visiting speaker in. So we'll kind of go back and do a little bit of overview and get down to where we were at. For Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he had broken it, when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? And in southern dialect he said, Speak up. verse number 9. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Getting folks to Jesus. You know that I could ask this question and it would be a very obvious question answer. Do you know anybody that needs to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. The ability to get them there is within us, the Holy Spirit of God, we that are saved. It's not within ourselves, it's within us, and we have the right bait, the Word of God. Now, you can try all kind of baits if you want to. You can put anything, entertainment, you can put social life, you can put theatrics, drama, whatever you want, you can put out there in front of them. And with that same carrot, they will grow old and numb toward Christ. But if you put the hope of glory, the written word, in front of them and present them with the written word, and the living word becomes their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that newborn experience, that birth, and that salvation experience, and that faith that they put in Christ, and an unchanging, absolute word, it will not grow up. So we know, folks, how many of you would be honest and say that you know people that they need the Lord, but they don't even realize it? Boy, they're out there, aren't they? They're around us. I mean, they need, but they think they're okay. They think they're just right on time with themselves, with society. They're going to be all right. And listen, man has long done that which is right in his own eyes in the biblical days. But I'm going to tell you, the way of the transgressor is hard. And we can look around us, and it's getting more and more difficult to live in our country. Why? The way of the transgressor is hard. We're transgressing the Word of God, the principles, the Bible. We're shunning the only hope that we have, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's people that do need the Lord, that we know they need the Lord. They realize they need the Lord. They just need somebody that's willing to show them, like the Ethiopian eunuch. How can I? Unless some man show me. Then there's other ones that they need the Lord, and they say this, almost thou persuadest me. We've heard that before in the book of Acts, haven't we? So what do? We're trying to get folks to Jesus. That's our goal. That's got to be our vision. Everything we do at our church, every ministry of activity has to have something that points people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be conscious about it. It has to be a self conscious thing, that we make decisions to in the things that we do and incorporate here at the house of God, that it's to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, we're wasting our time. How do you know that? For if lest the Lord build a house, they labor in vain. And listen, I don't have any vain time. I don't know about you, but my 24 hours a day goes by pretty quick. I don't have just a little leftover 2 or 3 hours a day just to throw it. Vanity. I just don't. And I know you don't. You're busy people. We're busy. So if we are busy, and it's a good thing to be busy, because idolize devil's workshop, we got to make effort to redeem the time. We got to get folks to Jesus. How do we do it? By the example that's sitting before us. The Bible says there in verse 1 that he was in the house. The presence of the Lord Jesus is very important. Very important. And the reality of the fact is that Jesus is in our presence. We're two or three together. There He is in the midst of us. And so we have to understand that Jesus' presence is here. It's what the world needs, so we need to make sure that they recognize that presence. How? By living godly, holy, righteous. Be ye holy, for he is holy. Living a biblical lifestyle. And so it's very important that we understand that. That first, the reality of his presence is real. That people should recognize his presence. What did it say there in verse number 1? It was Noah's that he was in the house. People recognize, hey, Jesus is in that house. Will people recognize that Jesus is in your life? Do they recognize that Jesus is in the midst of our church? Well, I sure hope so. It's a sad thing to show up here on a Sunday evening, 6:30, when we could be doing Lord knows only what we could be doing, and not meet with the Lord. I come to church to meet with the Lord. Thankful that you show up. Oh, I'm happy. I'm encouraged. But our whole main focus should be that fact that we're coming to meet with the Lord. Does the world recognize the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? There will be a result of his presence. What did the Bible say there in verse number 2? Many were gathered together. Hey, Jesus said, if you'll just lift me up, I'll draw all men to you. So that's our job. That's our goal. That should be our vision, is lifting up Christ so that he draws them. So he's the one that touches their life. So the presence of Jesus is very important. And then the priority of Jesus, as we looked on in verses 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. The priority of Jesus is something that we need to look at. The example that he set forth in verse number 5, dear friend, is very evident that he was more concerned with the spiritual over the physical. More concerned over the spiritual than the physical. Look what it says there. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Hold up, he was crippled. He couldn't move, he couldn't walk, he couldn't get around by himself. Four had to carry him where he was going. Jesus was not concerned above the spiritual need. He was concerned with the physical need. We see he'll meet that. But the priority was the spiritual need. For a long time now, we have been told and taught by society, by seminaries, by theologians, that there is no way to minister to this world unless we first meet the physical need. Well, that's contrary to the example of Scripture. The example in Scripture is that Jesus met the spiritual need and his disciples followed it. You know what they said when they saw the man laying at the temple? Silver and gold have I none. They followed his example. What happened in the book of Acts? They which have turned the world upside down have come hither. Why? They followed the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not neglect their physical need. Sit down. Put them in companies of, and there was 5,000, and above men, above the men, there was women and children. And he what? He fed them. So, but the priority is the spiritual need. Jesus emphasized the individual over the multitude many times. The press. What did the Bible say there in verse number 4? And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, there was many people in the house. Many people. Here comes the roof caving in. They lower the man down. Jesus ignored the multitudes and dealt with the individual. We're going to have to be careful that we don't get caught up in the numbers game. You realize it is individuals that is going to be the greatest help to us. Oh, we can have a church split across town and things go really bad and have about 75 show up just like that. But if they show up with trouble, leaving trouble, what do you think we're going to have? Trouble. Trouble. We don't need trouble. Let me tell you something. What we need is one soul at a time. It's where we get out, we make relationships, we build relationships with people, and we get them to realize that we're concerned with them as an individual. You know what's wrong with our school systems nowadays? Kids feel like they're not individuals.
There are so many in there, teachers are struggling to teach. And they have, their classrooms are crowded and they're trying to teach. And it's difficult to teach to each individual child. And so some of them get lost in the system, don't they? Not by, listen, but James, I don't believe for one moment you'd leave one child behind. We have a retired school teacher right here. I don't believe one moment you'd leave one person behind. But it happens, doesn't it? Because of it's overcrowded. It's over, listen, we've got to understand something. Our Sunday school hour here at the church is so important. It's, listen, it is as important as this hour right here. You have them in a small group. They're focused on you. They've come early. They've come early to take part in Bible study, in Bible training, in lessons of the Scripture. There's no singing for the most part. You might sing one or two, so I don't know how each one of y'all do it. There's no offering for the most part being taken up, so they don't come to worship. Some of you do take up an offering, give to a special thing. But they're coming for one thing and one thing only. That is for the Word of God at that hour. And you have them in a small group. Don't take it for granted. It's important. He emphasized the individual over the multitude. And I'm going to tell you what, he emphasized the lost over the saved. There was that guy laying there in the palsy. He could have looked at the rest of the crowd and surely the disciples there. Brother Victor asked me a couple of weeks ago, he said, "Preacher, who do you think a house this was?" And he went back and looked in the first chapter, and it looks like it's probably Simon Peter's house, or at least his mother-in-law's house. He had just done something great for us. Remember, she was sick. He was concerned with this man of the palsy. We have to be grown up enough as Christians that we don't need to be coddled and pampered along the way. We got to realize that there's lost folks. And so if one of the brethren have to spend a little more time with a lost person than they do with you, don't get upset. Their need's far greater than yours. You're on your way to heaven. They're lost. And if we miss them and miss that opportunity, they'll spend eternity in hell. Jesus emphasized think about the prodigal son. The whole story of the prodigal son is about the one that's missing. There's a couple of verses that talk about the one that was at home. The 99 that was left, and he went after the one. Listen, I thank God for all of you. And we have to have our times of fellowship. But we have to understand that the most important thing that we can do as a church is to see somebody come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. That's why we as an individual have to have a Bible time of our own. That we have to have time that we get along with God, that we can grow and study the Word of God and be approved unto Him, so that we are not so carnal sitting that we have to have somebody always changing our diaper, pampering us, taking the pacifier out. At such times you should be teachers, but now I gotta go back and we gotta restudy that. Hey, we gotta grow in grace. And I'm telling you, a good sign of growing in grace is when we're more concerned with the loss than self. Don't get me wrong, I know each individual in here has some problems and things that they need, but they cannot override the lost person. Sometimes we get to look at ourselves and, man, I've got this problem, I've got this bill, I've got that, I'm missing this, car ain't running right. Before we know it, we've done missed opportunity to be a blessing to a lost person. Here's where we're at now. We saw the presence of Jesus. We saw the priority of Jesus. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ that raised this man up off that bed and made him be able to walk is available to us today. If it's not, we have not a Savior. But how many times do we look at life and feel like if only Jesus would get involved, it would be okay? Really? Jesus was all over the Apostle Paul. shipwrecked, left for dead. In the sea, day and night, beaten. Perils within, perils without. The cares of all the churches. And Jesus was right with him. When he finished his course, guess what he said? I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. See, whether or not you have troubles or not does not determine whether Jesus is with you. It's how we handle those troubles and those difficulties that proves to others that there's something different. They are relying on something different. They're relying on the power that raised this man up off that bed. They see that you have your priorities in check. So the power of Jesus, it's available today. Not only is it available today, it's accessible today. Look at verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sin be forgiven. Was it easy getting to the Lord Jesus Christ? They came to the door. First, they had to carry the man, born of four, carry, and they get to the house. There's noise abroad. Jesus is in the house. They get there to the house. They can't get in. Hey, excuse me, please. We got this. I'm sorry. I've got to hear Jesus. That's what everybody was current. Hey, they went around to the back door. Hey, excuse me. We want to get him in there to Jesus. No, I'm sorry. I was here first. They climbed up on the roof. Removed the roof. I don't know what kind of roof it was. If it was clay shingles, if it was leaves of some sort, but they removed the roof. They lowered him. It wasn't easy, is what I'm saying. But he was accessible. You know, in the day and age which we live in, if it's not done in a minute, got to have popcorn in a minute, got to have Hungry Man TV dinners in a minute, you got to have, your TV better have more less than 1 minute commercials, you know, so forth, so on. It's got to be a minute, got to be a minute, got to be a minute. Listen, life is not always about a minute. I'm going to tell you, sometimes getting to the Lord Jesus Christ may be a little painful on your part. But it's accessible. It's accessible. I've always heard this, and I hope I always believe this and keep on believing this. Nothing that I have been given to me and gotten for free has been really built all it was made up to be. If it came free, it just, you know, I didn't have the proper respect sometimes for it. I didn't honor that gift or whatever. That ain't even making sense on my own self, so I know it ain't making sense to you. What am I trying to say? I don't appreciate it. You know, sometimes that appreciation, it's just not there. And I think sometimes if we don't get to walk into the throne room of God, walk into the throne room of God just right, straight away, time, you know, when we want it, we've got to get in there. Listen, when Daniel prayed, God sent the answer, but the answer was delayed, the Bible says in the book of Daniel, 21 days. It wasn't that God didn't send the answer, but you know, Daniel didn't quit praying. God sent it. It's not always easy to get in there to the throne room of God, but I'll tell you, it's always accessible. Always accessible to get in there to the throne room of God. And then, what else do I want to tell you tonight? There's one more thing, and we're going to close up right here. The Lord Jesus Christ always authenticates His power. Always. I don't know about you, but it's amazing me, Brother Lee, whenever I sit and I think about a situation, there's something going on, and I say, there is no other way, but this is God. Brother David couldn't have met the need. Brother Jim couldn't have met the need. But the need got met, and it was God. I'm telling you, it's good for Him when He authenticates His power in our life. I think about the story about D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was asked to debate an atheist. And D.L. Moody said, yes, I'll do that. On one by one provision. Here's the provision. Dale Moody said, if that atheist will bring a person that was a drunk, that his life had been changed and he's been put on the right path because he became an atheist. If he'll bring one person that was a drug addict and he chose to become an atheist and his life was put in order and all the drugs was put away, and if he'll show up with somebody like that and say, because I'm an atheist today, I am straight and I'm good and I'm good to go, then I will debate him. D.L. Moody made that deal. The atheist came and said, I can't find anybody that will tell me their life is better because they chose to become an atheist. And D.L. Moody had about 25, 30 with him that was drunks, drug addicts, that was adulteresses that have gotten their hearts right and got their lives right. And he said, this is what Jesus does. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There's a change that takes. He authenticates it, dear friend, when we trust Him as our personal Lord and Savior. Our life is not the same as it was 6 years ago. It is a different for the glory of God. With that said, have you been authenticated? Preacher, how do you get authenticated with the power of the Lord? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Acts 1a. Well, I'll tell you, it's good to be a child of the King. We're talking about getting folks to Jesus. When people look at your life, Brother Robert, when people look at our life and they see a difference in our life, that God and nothing but God could have done that, they kind of want to hear, don't they? Kind of like that old commercial when E.F. Hutton speaks. Everybody listens. I don't even know what insurance. Was it insurance? What was it? Brokerage? He's a stock broker. Well, we don't even want to talk about stocks nowadays. I'm a little kid and I remember that commercial now. I don't know how long ago that's been. A long time ago. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. I forgot everything about him. I didn't know who he was, don't know what he did, but I remember that commercial. Hey, when people look at your life and they see what Jesus has done in it, they say, hey, that guy, that lady, that young man, that young girl, something's different. There's been a great change wrought in their life because of Jesus. How are we going to get people to Jesus? We got to realize the power that's before us. We got to get our priorities correct and line and in order. And then we got to have an understanding that the presence of Jesus in our life is non-substitutable. Is that a big word? Is that even a word? Substitutable. Come on, you teachers. That's a word. Sounds good to me too. Man, I'm good at that. I like that one. I'm going to have to write that one down if I remember how to spell it. You can't substitute the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In a tragedy, I remember one time my wife and I was traveling and a car had turned over and there was a guy trapped underneath it. And we stopped. I went back to try to help him and some other people stopped and tried to help him. And then a priest stopped. And this is no knock on the priest. But all he cared was, you want your last rites. He needed more than last rites, dear friend. He needed Jesus. He needed Jesus. He needed somebody there in that moment that was more concerned about Jesus than last rites. I'm telling you, dear friend, you can't substitute Jesus. How are we going to get folks to Jesus? He's got to be with us. He's got to be part of our life. We've got to learn to practice. Not what would Jesus do. Do what Jesus did. If we practice it and walk as He walked, my friend, I'll tell you, we will be able to get people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to talk about partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole four things series, getting people to Jesus. Let's stand to our feet.